Hello and welcome to my reboot of the Learning British Accent podcast. Now it's been a while since I recorded an episode, so I hope you're going to enjoy this brand new format. I'll be using my daily emails as the main focus of this new season, so weekly episodes will contain some general advice around speaking English with an RP British accent, some various vocab exercises on a variety of topic areas, examples of phrasal verbs and how you can use them in your conversations, practice with idioms and English expressions to help you sound like a native speaker, and ideas, tips and inspiration to improve your spoken English. Now, most episodes will have around 5 sections and will be kept to short, easily digestible episode lengths of around 10 to 15 minutes. So, without further delay, let's kick off with our first section. Section 1. In a previous video, we covered some phrasal verbs you can use when describing an emotional state or condition. Today, let's make our spoken English even more descriptive with these emotion-related idioms and expressions. I'll outline some popular idiom choices along with their meanings. I've also included some ideas regarding their origin, but I'm not sure how reliable and accurate these origin stories are, so do take with a pinch of salt. Number 1. Down in the dumps. Down in the dumps. Meaning feeling sad or depressed. This phrase is believed to have originated in the 16th century, and the dumps was a commonplace term for a fit of depression, from the Dutch word domp, meaning haze or mist. Number 2. Over the moon. Which means extremely happy and pleased. This phrase comes from the nursery rhyme Hey Diddle Diddle, where the cow jumped over the moon. The concept is of feeling so happy you could leap over the moon. And just to note, I've recorded that particular nursery rhyme in my nursery rhyme collections as part of the British Accent Bundle. Number 3. Lost your bottle. This means losing one's nerve or courage. Bottle in this context is Cockney rhyming slang, bottle and glass for arse, buttocks. The phrase originated in the mid-20th century. Number 4. Keep a stiff upper lip. Keep a stiff upper lip. This means staying resolute and unemotional in the face of adversity or difficulty. The phrase is of British origin and was popularised in the 1800s. It refers to the facial expression of not allowing emotion to show. Number 5. In high spirits. Meaning feeling elated or very happy. The phrase high spirits has been in use since the 1600s, and it denotes vivacity, exhilaration, or good health. Number 6. In a pickle, which means being in a difficult situation. This idiom was popularised by Shakespeare in The Tempest. In a flap. In a flap. Meaning being in a state of worry or panic. This phrase is believed to come from the 1940s, possibly from the military slang, referring to the flapping movement of birds when they are disturbed. Number 8. Have the hump. Have the hump. This means being annoyed or in a mood. This phrase is believed to have originated from camel's hump, and it's used to refer to a person who is carrying an imaginary hump of annoyance or disappointment. Number 9. Go to pieces, meaning lose control of oneself, break down emotionally. This phrase originates from the 1900s, and it's believed to come from the idea of something falling apart into pieces. Number 10. Get your knickers in a twist. Get your knickers in a twist. Meaning getting upset or annoyed about something, typically unnecessarily. This phrase originated in the UK in the 1970s. Knickers refer to women's underwear, and the phrase suggests a state of discomfort or agitation. Number 11.
frightened to death, frightened to death, which means extremely scared. This is an ancient idiom where death is used to intensify the emotion of fear. Number 12, feeling under the weather, feeling under the weather. This means feeling ill or sick. This phrase comes from the nautical world, where sailors who felt unwell or seasick would go below deck. Hence, they were under the weather. Number 13. Drive someone up the wall. Drive someone up the wall. This means to irritate or annoy someone greatly. This phrase originated in America in the mid-20th century. The imagery is of someone being driven up the wall in frustration or annoyance. Number 14. Chuffed to bits. Chuffed to bits. This means very pleased. Chuffed is a British slang term for pleased, and bits intensifies the emotion. Number 15. Bursting with joy. Bursting with joy. This means extremely happy. This phrase uses the metaphor of being filled with so much joy that one could burst. Number 16, bored to tears, meaning extremely bored. Bored to tears. This phrase is an exaggeration using tears as an intensifier for the extreme level of boredom. 17, be on cloud nine, be on cloud nine. This means to be extremely happy or blissful. There are several theories about this phrase's origin. One suggests that it comes from the 1896 edition of the International Cloud Atlas, which defined 10 types of cloud, the ninth being the cumulonimbus, which rises to 10 kilometres, the highest a cloud can be. 18. At your wit's end, which means extremely worried, upset, or confused, to the point where you can't think clearly. At your wit's end. This phrase originates from the Bible, where it refers to a state of despair. It entered common usage in the late 17th century. I have a module on idioms and expressions as part of my British Accent Bundle. Subscribers have found it invaluable for improving their spoken English and accent. So why not join up today? Section 2. Emotion Idioms Quiz. I hope you enjoyed the collection of emotion idioms. As a little exercise, I've created a multiple choice quiz to test your knowledge on them. Here's some example questions. Which is the correct idiom? A. Down in the dumps. B. Down in the pits. C. Down in the holes. Question 2. What does the idiom over the moon mean? A. Extremely sad. B. Extremely happy. C. Extremely angry. Now, if you'd like to take the full quiz and find out the answers to those first two questions, you can find the link to the quiz in the show notes. Section 3. Taking your time to get a British accent. There once was a young man who listened through the night to the audio training in the British Accent Bundle. As he slept, his ears and brain soaked up the pronunciation exercises and the nuances of RP British English. When he awoke feeling refreshed, he opened his mouth and out came words spoken in a perfect RP British accent. Spoiler alert, it's just a fairy tale. In real life, you only hear stories of such dramatic switches of accent happening to people who've had the misfortune to suffer a significant head injury. And speaking as someone who's had a bang on the head and post-concussive syndrome, I don't recommend it as a shortcut to anything. Accent acquisition is also not a passive activity. Although it's crucial to listen to the accent, you do need to actively practice the production of the sounds to master any accent. However, that's for another time. But back to talking about speed of change or progress. For those uncomfortable with sudden change, this gradual assimilation of British accent sounds into your own speech is actually a positive thing. Some people hesitate to work on their speaking voice and accent, as they feel it's a betrayal of their native voice and identity. They worry that vocal change will carry accusations of wanting to be something they're not, perhaps trying to be above their station or betraying their native language and accent. But that is the point. You want to be better. You can see and feel the benefits of speaking clearer, feeling more confident, and enjoying communicating with those around you. It's not a snub. With no sudden dramatic vocal changes, your friends, family, and colleagues won't leap then to judgments. They'll start to hear the differences, but in all likelihood won't be able to pinpoint exactly what's changed. They'll just know that your English is clearer, perhaps more refined and polished, but more pleasant to listen to and follow. So enjoy the journey of improving your vocal qualities. It may take a little longer than you're hoping, but remember that sometimes a really minor tweak to a particular sound can make a huge impact to your overall accent. Before we move on to the next section, now would you like to speak English with an RP British accent? Have you been learning for a while but not making much progress? I'd like to tell you about my British Accent Bundle, which is my online training package which helps students from all over the world master the RP British accent. In my online training programme, you'll get video lessons that demonstrate proper mouth and tongue placement for nailing those tricky British accent sounds. There are also hours of audio exercises so you can polish your pronunciation until it's spot on. You'll also find modules focused on improving your fluency, listening skills, and conversational abilities. Now, if you think you could benefit from this training and start to feel confident about your speaking and conversation skills, then head over to learningbritishaccent.com/bundle to sign up. Section 4. Nigerians and the British accent. Previously, we briefly touched on the sensitive subject of accent and identity, how changing your accent can have negative reactions from others. This was also highlighted in an article I came across the other day on the BBC website. Although it's called Nigerians and the British Accent, I've no doubt other native language learners can suffer a similar reaction. In the article, a linguist is quoted as saying, "An accent is an identity, and that learning to speak like someone else is a big identity crisis that is not just a Nigerian problem." However, this attitude hasn't put off many Nigerians who happily pay for diction tutors to teach them to speak English with an RP British accent. English is an official language in Nigeria, spoken by at least half of its 200 million people, according to several researchers, a legacy of British colonial rule until 1960. There is no single Nigerian English accent, as at least 500 languages are spoken in the country, and they each influence how English is spoken in different ways. For example, some Nigerians struggle pronouncing the RP sounds H, P and F. It's also suggested that Nigerians may speak slower and they also may have a flatter intonation. Reading the article, I did wonder whether the students of the accent trainer mentioned in the piece were getting the best guidance and instruction. Learning from someone who is not a native speaker of British RP and has not even visited the UK is unlikely to be providing accurate accent training. Now, if you'd like to learn from a native RP British speaker, then can I persuade you to join my British Accent Bundle? I think you'll find it the most useful training material you can find to help you improve your spoken English and accent. Go to learningbritishaccent.com slash bundle. Section 5. Let's talk tongue twisters. Tongue twisters have long been a staple practice technique for mastering the complexities of received pronunciation. Dating back centuries, these tricky phrases challenge speakers to carefully articulate each sound while linking words together smoothly. Though silly in nature, tongue twisters serve a linguistic purpose that is beneficial for pronunciation and accent training. Let's explore the origins and utility of these verbal gymnastics for honing a more authentic British accent. A brief history of tongue twisters. The origins of tongue twisters are difficult to pinpoint exactly, as they developed orally long before being written down. Many linguists believe tongue twisters emerged naturally in languages as a playful way to pass time and challenge articulation. Hard to say sequences of sounds are entertainingly difficult to say quickly, so these phrases likely evolved gradually alongside most languages. In English, some of the earliest recorded tongue twisters appeared in the 18th century. A 1775 book, The 12th Statute of His Majesty King Altered, contains the line, "Around the rugged rocks the ragged rascal ran." By the Victorian era, collections of tongue twisters were being published as elocution exercises and parlour games. Nonsense verses like "She sells seashells by the seashore" first appeared in print in the late 1800s. So while the origins are murky, tongue twisters as practice for spoken English grew in popularity alongside RP in the 18th and 19th centuries. Elocution manuals and speech training books often included tongue twisters as pronunciation drills. This tradition continues today amongst actors, broadcasters, and anyone looking to perfect their execution of RP. The linguistic utility of tongue twisters. Tongue twisters endure as accent training tools because they target the most variable and complex aspects of an accent, like RP. This includes consonant clusters. Multiple consonants in a row are tricky, as in sixth, sick, shakes, sixth, sheep's sick. Tongue twisters overload these clusters. Vowel contrasts. Keeping vowels clearly differentiated is essential. Rhythmic timing. Proper stress and rhythm improves flow, as in, "Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter." Linking. Linking words smoothly without gaps takes practice, like fish and chips. Intonation. Tongue twisters have an innate musicality that engages the voice. In this way, tongue twisters target everything from individual phonemes to broader global traits like fluency. As silly as they seem, these exercises unsettle the speech system in a productive way. But enough of the theory. Let's learn and practice some popular tongue twisters. Here are 30 classic examples, along with brief notes on what makes each one tricky. Number 1. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Alliterative and packed with hard P consonant clusters. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? She sells seashells by the seashore. This will help with the S and the SH sounds. She sells seashells by the seashore. The shells she sells are surely seashells. So if she sells shells on the seashore, I'm sure she sells seashore shells. Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. This works on smooth consonant linking between words starting with B. Can also help those having trouble with the T and R sounds. Betty Botter bought a bit of butter, but, she said, the butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter will make my batter better. So she bought a bit of butter, better than her bitter butter, and she put it in her batter, and the batter was not bitter. Around the rugged rocks the ragged rascal ran. Here rolls the R sounds fluidly. Number 5. Unique New York. This glides the initial diphthong into the following N sound. Unique New York, unique New York, you know you need unique New York. Sixth sick, shakes sixth, sheep's sick. This overloads complex consonant clusters. This one is very good for practicing the S sound. You also get the X sound, like in sixth, the SH sound, like in sheep, and the TH sound, like in sixth. If you'd like to hear the rest, then I've got the link in the show notes below.